Oh.
What are we waiting on? Oh, well, excuse me, everybody. It's Bark After Dark. It's Sunday night. If you're...
it's not.
It's not Sunday night. It's not even Monday night. We're actually pre-recording this because we're all to hell, basically, is what's going on. It's a complete... we don't need to curse in the first 5 minutes. Apparently, that knocks us off of the YouTube algorithm or whatever. But we've lost our intro music. Yeah, that's what they say. Wow. We've lost our intro. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk
naked.
About.
I feel naked without the intro.
I do too. It kind of puts me in a state of mind that I'm losing right now. we'll talk about Scottie Scheffler and that whole fiasco. I've had surgery. I've gone under the knife, and I'm going to share with you guys my harrowing experience and my bravery recovering from that. And then we're going to Jake off, and Palmer is actually going to join us to talk about Scottie Scheffler. He begged to come on here. We tried real hard for him not. Then he started crying, and we were like, okay, we can have you on here. But Roos, let's get into what's really important. And we've lost our intro stuff. How do you feel about that? Other than the fact that you feel naked right now? Thank God.
I'm devastated, man. I'm devastated. I loved our intro.
I did too.
It was that music was really cool. What was the young man's name that did it?
Nick Poss. Nick Poss. Ace High, I think is the name. Yeah.
Shout out to Nick Poss, man. That's a cool piece of music. Apparently what we got hit with a copyright claim from
somebody else owns the rights to that, and I'm not going to drag them through the mud or whatever. I would be willing to bet they had a policy change of some sort, but what happened is over a year ago, before we even started Bark After Dark, and our buddy Wes Blankenship was helping us out, we all just kind of combed through the internet and we're looking for open source, royalty free music. We downloaded that thing freely, didn't have a problem with it for over a year. And, all of a sudden we got hit with two copyright claims on back to back shows. Thank goodness it wasn't a strike against our site. And we appreciate YouTube and the company that made the claim or whoever for not, you know, knocking us for that. But from what I understood is it was royalty free, and we had a pretty banging intro. You know, a lot of folks were pretty stoked with it, but now we got to figure out something else. We've basically had our shoestrings tied together out of nowhere.
Yeah, if you I don't know, if somebody out there can hook us up with something, let us know, man. I'm down to you know, see what the Bark After Dark crowd can come up with. Maybe somebody's got a connection to Travis Tritt. That'd be sick. Imagine getting Travis Tritt to do our intro. That would be,
dude. Awesome. If we could get Travis Tritt to give us the rights to Trouble.
Oh man,
we could just do the Trouble and then go straight into that into Bark After Dark.
I love it.
That's all it would take.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Hey, Double T. Hey, listen.
We'll throw in a free sub to Dogs HQ too.
We will hook you up with a free sub to Dogs HQ. We'll be fans of yours for life, which we'll be anyway. And, you know, I don't know, man. Maybe I'll let my hair grow out and look like yours.
Did you ever have long hair, Jay?
I have had long hair. I wish I could find the photo.
I would really like to see that.
Yeah, if you'll filibuster for a minute, I'll look it up. Right. And there should be some photos on Facebook somewhere.
Now, I had very long hair.
Mine wasn't super long, but comparatively long to what it is now, no doubt.
I imagine you had a swoop.
What do you mean a swoop?
Like the frat swoop, the front, like, you know.
No, you know, the thing is mine's kind of curly. Mine's pretty wavy. The ladies, I'll be honest with you, I'm not saying they liked me, but they were like, man, I wish I had hair like that. Other than the shitty hairline.
Did they play with it a little bit?
Not really.
Oh man. See,
the last time was during the pandemic. It was during COVID and all that, you know, BS. And I went about, I don't know, probably about 4 or 5 months without a haircut.
Yeah.
And we took some pictures out at a sunflower field because my wife loves that kind of stuff. And boy, I love her.
Are frequents of the various fields of the area, I feel. Strawberry picking field, sunflower field. You guys are into the agritourism, it appears.
I love that woman. I do. And I do things for her that I wouldn't do. But, dude, you would laugh at the number of times that I tell her, like, hey, this picture's better if I'm not in it.
Sure.
I get that. I try to drop that on her as often as I can. Does it ever work? Rarely.
I had the shoulder length hair, and it was all over, man. I wish, and if I still had the hairline for it, I'd still do that. But can't pull it off quite like that. I got to settle.
I definitely do not mind Palmer pulling this up if I can find it. But man, Facebook is not letting me jump back very well at all. But I'm on my way there. I'm also seeing some old food photos. You boy, man, I tell you what, dude, I can cook, dude. I can cook a little. What I know how to cook, I'm good at. You're so much better and more diverse when it comes to those things. But you can cook a lot of different things that I can't. But
thank you. That's very kind.
Yeah, you're a very talented individual. what I know how to cook, I can throw down a little bit, man.
We're riffing a little bit. By the way, we should tell people we're 6 minutes in, but if you're looking for Georgia talk, this is not the right show for you. We do the Georgia show also on this YouTube channel. So if you want Georgia scoop and that kind of thing, go there, watch that. This is just a show where we basically just bullshit. So we're doing that in a very strong way right now. You're getting to watch Jake Rowe live and in person go through his Facebook photos in one of the most riveting segments that we've ever done.
Hey, at least we're talking through it and it's not complete silence. You know, I mean, it's not... At least it's not complete silence, but yeah, I'm just trying to get back. I want people to see my hair. You know, I mean, I'm proud of that hair. I grew a little bit and been a long time, but yeah. Hey, I can't remember. I know I told you this, but did I ever share the story about running into the guy out in front of the convenience store the other day that were
mentioned? You told me this story, but you didn't. I don't think you told it on air.
Man, I was going through, I was stopped at a convenience store the other day, and I was going to hit the convenience store, and I was going to jump over and buy some tequila from Perry's Bottle Shop. Is it Perry's or is it Jay's Bottle Shop?
Jay's Bottle Shop is right there. You're talking about over off of
Prince.
Yeah, Prince. Yeah, right there at the end of Prince.
Huh? And I'm walking across and I was going to go to the convenience store first, and my man, the first thing he says is, "Hey, don't you need to be on that internet making doing the shows?" And I said, and the first thing I thought of was like, I didn't really know which show he was talking about. And he goes, "By the way, you still staying off that heroin?" And, obviously if you're just listening to the show, there was a little show a little while back where I said that, Roose asked me what I'd been up to, and I said I thought about trying heroin again, but I decided not to once again this week. So now I'm trying to figure out how to share this Facebook post with Palmer. So that he can.
See, I've found one.
Oh, yeah? Which one did you find?
I just found that exact same one.
You holding the baby. I'm assuming that's Layla.
Is that? Yeah, no, that's not. My hair's been longer than that.
Has it really?
Oh, yeah.
On this segment of scrolling through Jake's
Facebook. Also to see you without facial hair is. Kind
of what a fat turd. What a fat looking turd of a human being.
You know what I said the other day, and I saw a photo. You are the absolute
ugliest person you've ever seen.
No, you are the absolute perfect combination of your parents in a way that I have never seen a person. Maybe
I don't know, man. I look a lot like my dad.
I think if you, I think I can see it, man. But I can see a lot of you, a lot of your. I think I know when this photo is from, actually. I believe I was there for that, wasn't I?
Oh, from the gender reveal.
Oh, is that what that's from?
Is it that my?
That's what the Facebook caption's about.
Yeah. Oh, I thought that was. I thought that's when James Brown hit us.
No, was that? What was it? It was. Am I bleeding?
Yes. Are you not? Look at the screen.
No, I'm trying to get this photo to Palmer because this is the one I want people to see.
Well, just use present. All you got to do is do the thing. This is the worst show we've ever done by far.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna get fired.
We're like talking through like how you present, how you share your screen on stream.
Yeah, I know, right? But no, I mean, it, you know,
you go down to the bottom, click back over to StreamYard, hit present, and then you can share.
I'm just going to send this photo to Palmer.
This, you're taking the most roundabout possible way to do this.
No, let him send this photo. We could have great use for this later.
Your audio just went weird, Palmer, by the way.
Palmer's audio is like his brain. It's really weird.
Yeah.
But Palmer should have access to it. Listen, I think my hair looks all right in this photo that Palmer's about to post. I think I've got some pretty good cabbage in this next one.
Yeah, just some salad there. Some.
Have you seen it?
No, not yet. I'm waiting.
Okay. By the way, yeah.
Oh boy, yeah, dude, yeah, absolutely. Now that looks like a guy who could crush an 18 pack over 18 holes, no question
about it. Oh yeah, and I think I went and did that immediately after.
That's a good look, man. I think you should bring that back.
There's a couple of times, dude. There was a couple of times during the pandemic, during COVID, that I had to call my wife after playing a round of golf because it was like, you know, getting out and about and just a chance to cut loose, blow some steam. And I would call my wife after round. I was like, hey, you're gonna have to come get me.
You look like an overgrown child.
Yeah.
Well, that's not that long ago, though, right? I mean,
no. It was the summer of 2020. Michael Casagrande, who works at AL.com, always says that I look like a giant baby.
I can see that.
Yeah,
particularly in this one. This is like the kid who, you know, the mom hasn't let him get their first haircut yet.
Yeah.
This is, you know, it's she's really struggling with that decision. I could see that for sure.
Yeah, so that's me with hair, you know, with lots of hair and without a hat, which is also kind of tough to find me at. But we've talked about hair and we've talked about losing our.
How did we even get on that?
I don't know. That's a good one. But I'll also show you guys. I had a carpal tunnel release surgery. Which, you know, I've had a bad problem for years and years and years of my hand, especially my left hand, falling asleep. Like when I drive or when I go to sleep, like it'll just wake me up like tingling, numb and all that stuff. So I had carpal tunnel release surgery. And if you're watching right there, you can see this giant bruise in the palm of my hand right there. That's there. That's where they made the incision. It's like a little nickel width incision. And then I got some. Whatever right there, some blueness, but hey man, getting it back pretty quick. If you're thinking about, if you got carpal tunnel problems and you're in the Athens area, let me give my man, Dr. Schuler, a little shout out over at Athens Orthopedic, get some good drugs on the front end. They give you some, Versed, which, makes you not GAF at all. About anything. And that was a good 5 minutes before that. And hey man, I got to give a shout out to. You want to talk about two guys that haven't been on Bark After Dark, but they will be on Bark After Dark. And you want to know a little thing about this Georgia media crew, right?
There's me with
Lonnie. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that didn't even look like the same person.
Yeah, that wasn't the same person, man. That there was a lot of IPAs in that young man's future.
Yeah.
That he did not know about. He was
a lot of IPAs and pain.
That guy's dope. Big yes. That guy was real into Southern Comfort.
Yeah. Now you look a lot more like a man that needs to be put out of his misery.
Sure, absolutely. I feel like a man that needs to be put out of his misery a lot.
I got to give a shout out to. So my wife had a lot of stuff going on with work. She's a teacher, and they had a lot of end of year stuff going on. And I had to call upon some friends because Palmer was out of town and you live, you're a Tennessee resident, basically always have been. And I had to call on Jordan Hill and Connor Riley to help get me to and from the dock that day. And boy, did they come through. I took those boys out to Temez on Friday for lunch for helping me out. But that's how much we love each other on this Georgia beat. Old Jordan and Connor really took care of me. So I really appreciate those guys.
Yeah, man. Shout out to those guys. Great dudes for sure. But the surgery, you said you're already feeling a little bit better, yeah?
Oh yeah, man. I don't know if I can swing a golf club yet, but I've got my range of motion back. My fingers aren't falling asleep or anything like that. A lot of people say, hey, you know, occupational hazard from you know, being a sports writer and typing all the time. It's not that, actually. My doctor seemed to think it had a little bit more to do with hereditary things, especially since my mom and dad have had the same surgery. But I would recommend it. I really would. And if you have it, one of the best pieces of advice I can give you is to play through the pain, because you're not repairing anything. All they do is go in there and they clip a tendon and allow that nerve to release into the carpal tunnel, into the, you know, the tunnel through there, so it's kind of not obstructed anymore. But I would advise anybody to play through the pain and to use it as much as you can, as quickly as you can. You get it back a lot sooner.
What's your timetable? When are you like good to go? Totally.
I mean, I'm good to go now. I haven't
swing a golf club. What do you, I mean, where are you
at? I mean,
a week.
It's debatable whether or not I can swing a golf club whenever it's fine. Yeah, I mean, fair. I'm probably about a 15 handicap right now. So I'm always handicapped. I mean, yeah, definitely not playing with a full deck out here, but
sure.
I don't know. I mean, I'll probably be back to normal here in about 4 or 5 days. I guess technically I got to wait until I get my stitches out until it's like, you know, right. Whatever, but,
well, speaking of swinging a golf club, that's a good segue.
Oh.
What?
It was the best day of the history of the internet.
Was great. It was such a good day on Twitter. It was what Twitter is. It's what I love Twitter for. And it was excellent. Scottie Scheffler, if you've been under a rock, arrested at Valhalla on Friday morning. And the internet was ablaze with some of the finest memery that I have ever seen in my life. It was
are we going to be able to get some of those pulled up?
Y'all tell me which ones are your favorites, and we'll get them pulled up.
I posted most of my favorites in that thread. So if you want to go click the thread, there's a lot of the ones that I love.
My favorite comment about the whole thing was that Scottie Scheffler is the only man to get a plaid jacket, a green jacket, and an orange jumpsuit in the span of two months. If you don't know what a plaid jacket is, that's if you win the Arnold Palmer for the Invitational, I believe.
The red sweater. Arnold Palmer, you get the little
the plaid. Sweater. Yeah, you get the cashmere or the whatever sweater that.
Yeah, that was the RSB, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or yeah,
no, something like that. Whatever that is.
I just my thing is like. Listen, I'm all for police officers, and I know most of them are good, and I appreciate law enforcement. I know personally that if something weird happens out here and some stuff happens out at my house, my wife gets real mad at me and starts beating up on me, I'm going to call the police, okay? Like, I get it, and I feel like there's a bravery involved there, but what the hell possesses you to run after and grab a car?
That's just bad practice in general. That's just, no one should do that regardless of your profession. It just doesn't make sense. How do you think that guy felt when he realized what was going on? Like when that cop realized like, it's this, like, oh my God, it's this guy. Like here's the thing. If you lock up, let's say, I'm trying to think of like somebody from the mid. Let's say you locked up David Duvall, right? That's an incident, but it's nothing. You've locked up the number one golfer in the world. The number one player in the entire world is being restrained by you.
And Bruce, ESPN might have had something to say. David Duvall was calling the tournament.
Yeah. Well, sure.
But I'm saying, while we're at it, I'm not 100. No, that was Jeff Ogilvie. I was thinking David Duvall might have been in the same car as Jeff Darlington and the other guy that had kind of gave firsthand accounts of what happened. But no, that was Jeff Ogilvie.
Might have been, though, because there were like four of them in that car.
Yeah, I don't know who else was in the car. Maybe I can look that story up. But Palmer, I just sent one. Over that I thought was absolutely hilarious. As Roos was talking about the police officer, somebody tweeted, I'm thinking about the pants of officer Detective Gillis this morning. And somebody put him up on a flagpole put a pair of pants on a flagpole to kind of illustrate. But man, $80 pants, dude.
It was I don't know, man. I wished I knew he wouldn't do it, but I wanted Scottie Scheffler to lean into it. I really wanted him to, that's incredible. I really wanted Scheffler to kind of embrace this like kind of bad boy role, you know, a little bit. Come back as Stone Cold Scottie Scheffler. Like, that would have been, great, dude. If he would have come back and like chugged a beer or something like that.
I really wish he would have gotten like a Crayola washable marker and made a cut like three teardrops.
Sure, sure.
You know, underneath.
Oh, absolutely.
Came out there and played like that all day.
I mean, the guy.
He went and shot a 66. He kind of played like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
The only knock on the guy is that he's kind of milk toast. And, you know, that's, I mean, you can't, other than that, you can't say anything about it. This is, I thought it was great for that reason. I think that it was good for the game. It was like, you know, they've got the mugshot now. So the people had the shirts like by that day, like just like an hour later, they had the shirt made, which was tremendous world. As well.
What a time to be alive.
Oh, so good, man.
I should totally wear a Scottie Scheffler mugshot shirt to Pinehurst, right?
More surprising, though, this was a question that came up on the board.
Yeah, don't do that.
Debate it here. they ask us to debate it. More surprising, the Scottie Scheffler arrest or the Tiger Woods incident?
I mean, the
Tiger Woods getting the shit beat out of him with a golf club was wild.
You can totally without copping out just say, because both of them came out of equal parts of nowhere.
Sure.
You know, like you neither one of those was on your mind at all. Now if you just want to say just the words Scottie Scheffler has been arrested on a felony charge, then that one probably came the most out of nowhere.
The other thing that made it that surprising is that it happened the morning that he was supposed to go play the second round of a major golf tournament.
Yeah,
that's true.
I mean, Tigers happened in the middle of November.
Tigers, though, to me, the Tiger one is, you could make the argument for Tiger primarily based on the fact that even people who did not know golf knew Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods is a lot larger celebrity than Scottie Scheffler. And so, like, that was one of those that kind of resonated with everybody. Like, I had people that asked me on Friday and Saturday, like, they were like, did you see that golfer got arrested?
Yeah.
They didn't say Scottie Scheffler got arrested. But now Tiger Woods, everybody was like, oh, my God, did you see what happened to Tiger? And so, to me, the Tiger incident was the bigger deal. The Scottie one was a bigger surprise. At least
I saw a video.
This is what Roos wanted. Right here.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I wanted him to come back. Yeah, dude. In handcuffs. Like,
no, you know what would have been better is if they would have rolled him out of the back of a van with a Hannibal Lecter mask.
Absolutely, man. Yes. I really wanted him to lean into it pretty heavily. And here, you know what else? I feel kind of bad about it for one person in particular, and that's Xander Schauffele. Because Xander Schauffele is over here just fighting his ass off every week to try to get over the hump. He finally does in what is historically, I believe, the easiest major ever. They showed the scores on this.
I mean, it was definitely the highest, you know, the lowest anybody's ever gone in a major just by one stroke. I mean,
No. But collectively, if you look at the numbers.
Really? Oh, yeah.
The collectively 214 under par.
Yeah.
The next closest
was completely rendered defenseless by getting soft and the wind blowing the way it was. And I'm sure if they get a chance to do it again, they'll make it a little tougher. But yeah, you're right, 100%.
Yeah.
But Scottie Scheffler. Oh,
there's Wes.
Yeah. Scottie Scheffler. Wes. Scottie Scheffler absolutely was the bigger story. Xander Schauffele, for all his fighting and all his like trying to break through, and he finally does it, and it happens finally on the week that Scottie Scheffler is arrested.
Go to jail.
All the spotlight.
Go straight to jail. I tell you who doesn't feel bad about any of it is Xander Schauffele, because he came out of the other side of it, got that major. Fantastic tournament. It was very entertaining. And Palmer, you said this to me. I know this is definitely not a golf show or anything like that, but I do want to say this. I thought it was a fantastic point. It's the congratulations on the first good point you've ever made. He said, Palmer said that, you know, obviously it's a major without an identity, because it's not, you know, because you've got the Masters that's played at Augusta every year, and you've got the Open Championship, which is played across the pond and on all of these different links courses. And you know, it's kind of the get up early in the morning and watch golf, you know, for, you know, before the sun comes up type of tournament. The U.S. Open's hard as hell, even though last year it wasn't very hard at L.A. Country Club. And then but this one doesn't really have a big time identity other than the fact that, you know, Brooks Koepka might, you know, very well win it every year. You know, he seems to always be in the hunt. He's won three of them in the past like 6 years. But Palmer said, you know, that you made a great point, which was the identity of this tournament could be basically letting these big time guys come out in a major tournament and just see how bad they can beat the course up.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. I like that. That's cool to me. Yeah. Do you think Valhalla will ever get this tournament again?
Oh yeah, I think so. Because no,
I don't see it, dude. I think
I'm with Roos.
Here's the reason I think you do. Look at the past, what is it, the past two or three that they've had there. Guys, they've been absolute horse race amazing tournaments. I mean, it's
good. Here's the thing.
No pun intended with it being in Louisville.
Yeah, right.
It's good. It's the watch was good. I think the PGA guys had to be like, you have got to be shitting me.
Yeah, it was just such a logistical
You put Scotty Scheffler.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about just from the difficulty.
No.
I think Valhalla is going to have to figure some things out and make some concessions with the
PGA. But you combine those two things. Combine those two things, and it's like there's other golf courses out there that could handle a situation better, probably.
My dad, off the course. My dad said, and I think it's right, look, we can call it what it is. A lot of powerful people play golf. And he said, you know, those guys had to be like, you know, the PGA had to be like, this is the pull you have here that you can't, that you're going to send this guy and book him in jail. Like, you can't get that situation diffused. I don't see it for him, man.
Yeah, you guys may be right about that. I just tend to think that, like, it was such a good tournament. And, you know, I saw some people, discussing kind of how to make the course itself harder. You know, there's nothing I can say about the logistical side of it because that was a little bit of an unprecedented situation. Right. Somebody lost their life in a pedestrian accident. I doubt that's ever happened before. But, you know, talking about like, you know, some areas where, you know, Palmer, where they, you know, because I say this to Palmer because Palmer is more of a golf guy than you are, Roos, but you know, some of these areas where you had penalty areas and the rough was way up high, maybe taking those down and cutting them close. That way these guys couldn't fearlessly drive the ball down the left side of the fairway when water was there because you might get a roll off or something like that. But ultimately also the court, like I said, the course was just rendered completely defenseless because there was no wind all week and it was soft as hell because all the rain. Right. And these guys are just firing at pins that they would never go at. But the Scottie Scheffler thing may ultimately be the thing that knocks it out, which is, I can't believe you allowed this to happen to the number one player in the world just on a whim. I can't imagine it wasn't tremendous for the ratings of the tournament.
Oh, my God. You know.
Because I talked to somebody on Saturday who was like, man, I forgot they were playing the PGA tournament until that Scottie Scheffler stuff went on Friday. Yeah. How many people got reminded of the tournament? How many people tuned in Friday to see how he would play?
Oh, absolutely. No question, man. I did for sure. I mean, I was going to watch it anyway, but I was watching a lot more intensely because of that. I wanted to see, could he bounce back from that? Also, too, this weekend, out of nowhere, surprisingly, I'm becoming a little bit of a Bryson DeChambeau fan.
Oh, God.
Which I did not expect. The clip that got me was he threw that ball to that. Did you see the thing where
that
he threw
cool.
the ball to the
kid? That was cool. I did see that.
That was badass, man. That was a
when really he, when cool he held game. That putter up backwards and was like, hey, you.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. To call that guy down like that.
Bro would have just thrown it to the man. He wouldn't have thrown it to the child.
I thought it was a cool. I thought it was a class move. You. I thought it was a class move, man.
That was cool. It was a class for him to come up to Xander. He did a lot of cool things, signed a hat for a kid. He's an amazing golfer. That shot he hit on 18 to give himself a chance at birdie was amazing. He's awesome. He's very good at the game. He's great. I still don't like him. He's a dweeb.
He is a dweeb. I will give you that for sure. And that thing
where he got homeschool energy on that guy. Sorry if you're listening to the show and you're a homeschool kid.
Who are you apologizing to? Bryson DeChambeau?
The people that may be watching this that were homeschooled.
Oh, he's a huge dork for sure. There's no question about it.
And it's not like he's not a huge dork in the sense that I'm not even holding against him that he's really smart and analytical about the game. It's just like, I don't know if you saw this. I sent the clip to Palmer. He goes up to the range after the round and to start practicing, and he grabs his water bottle. There's just him and a bunch of his people around. He walks up to the tee, grabs the water bottle, and slams it down like he's damn William Wallace and Braveheart.
I'll pull it up.
It is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. I'm like, dude, you are so annoyingly awkward.
Yeah, sure. I can see that. I can see that.
But I told Palmer one of the reasons I don't like him, God, we've turned this into a golf thing, and it's concerning me. I'm sorry if people are going to tune us out. Nobody hardly watches this anyway, but whatever. One of the things that killed me is I was listening to PGA Tour radio a couple years ago, and it was after he had gained all that distance. Here it is. Yeah. I mean, watch this idiot.
All that sides?
Watch him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sure.
What an idiot.
He's marking his territory, Jay.
Yeah, dude. That's an alpha. That's an alpha male. Okay. What peak that's alpha what peak male masculinity looked like.
He drove a ball. He drove a ball back when he gained all that distance, like 348, 352 yards or something. And Earl Forsey, who does XM's coverage of the PGA Tour on XM, I'll say XM again. And he goes, he says, Bryson DeChambeau, my math, drove that thing about 352 yards. John McGinnis, where are you guys at down there? He goes, well, I just went up and talked to Bryson. And he said, I said, man, that was one hell of a drive. And he said, oh, man, I heel wiped it, which means he kind of just hit it off of the heel. And I was just like, you moron. Like, I mean, don't say stuff like that. Like, you clearly got all of that drive. You know, like, don't be the guy that's like, yeah, I didn't even hit that one hard.
Well, did you see his quote? I almost sent it to you, Jake, but it was like,
it'd probably give me a heart attack.
His quote this week was like, yeah, no, I putted it great. I chipped it great. I didn't hit the ball that well this week. That was like a B.
He sucks, man. He sucks. All right, that's all the golf talk we've got. We've got all to start right. talking about golf. Palmer, either turn your head or get out of the room because we're about to
check. I'm out of here. I don't want to see this.
It's not going to work unless you watch, though. It's time for Jaking Off, as usual. It's our favorite segment of the week, everyone's favorite segment of the week, because you just get that post-Jake clarity.
Sponsored by Aveeno.
We need to get somebody to sponsor this.
Nobody Lubriderm. Wants to do that.
Lubriderm, if you're watching. Sponsor Jake and Off. All right, you want to go or you want me to? I got
you one. Go ahead.
All right. So I'm curious to know, man, when you were a kid, outside of football, because I know you're a huge football guy, obviously, but outside of football, who was like your sports hero when you were a kid?
Ken Griffey Jr., 100%.
Like, oh, yeah.
I would watch SportsCenter. So I've told this story, I think, before about how I became a Denver Broncos fan. We had the redneck satellite dish. We didn't get the local antenna, and we didn't have the local station, so we got our affiliates. But also, one of the things is whatever Sports South or whatever it was for the Northeast, like I just happened upon a thing where I could see like reruns of Mariners games. And I would watch, you know, King Griffey Jr. on that. And then I would see him hit home runs in those reruns or even maybe live sometimes. And then I would watch SportsCenter over and over and over again, starting it. Because I've never been kind of a sleep until noon kid. Yeah. My dad never would let me. And I've just never – I've always gotten up in the morning. And, dude, I would – whether it was the 7 a.m. or the 8 a.m. SportsCenter, I would catch that one. And I would watch him hit a home run 4 times a day, every single day. This was before YouTube, and obviously. And man, I mean, Ken Griffey Jr. was 100%. Another one too that folks may not think about. And I've got a little box over here that my mom gave me whenever she emptied out our cedar chest a little while back. I've got a letter that I wrote to David Robinson about.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And they didn't sign it or anything like that, but he sent me a photo back. I don't know why you wouldn't sign it, but they sent me a photo of David Robinson back. And I just was a huge fan of him, knowing that Just the nickname, the Admirable, and the military ties, and you know, good guy and everything like that. So I was a big David Robbins fan. What about you? What about your kind of sports hero?
You know, coming up, man, for whatever reason, and I don't know why, I've never really been able to put a finger on it. I've always been a huge Kevin Garnett fan.
Okay.
I love Kevin Garnett's game. I like that
he's a Garnett.
Yeah, he was. I love that he was aggressive. I mean, I loved him on the Timberwolves, and I was so happy for him when he finally got that NBA championship, because I was like, I just thought he was just going to languish away on the Timberwolves forever. Which, shout out for Carl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards doing some great work for the Minnesota.
Yeah, I don't care much for Carl Anthony Towns, but Anthony Edwards is.
I was a big Kevin Garnett guy. I loved watching Randy Johnson pitch.
Yeah.
That was always a lot of fun. He was just so violent. It's Griffey's a great pick. He was so effortlessly cool. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, and everybody, another guy I really loved in MLB was Gary Sheffield.
Yeah.
Because I could not believe that you could, I still to this day, I don't know how you do that bat wag. And
yeah, dude, my grandmother, her name was Mary Lou. And I used to go watch Braves games with her. And honestly, sometimes when I think about it, it gives me a little bit emotional, because she lived like, we had like this little 2-acre pond between our house and her house. And I would walk around the pond and just go watch Braves games with her every night during the summer. And man, you want to talk about somebody who loved her some Gary Sheffield, dude.
Yeah.
Like, dude. She would, you know, I mean, she loved him. She would go fold some clothes, and you'd hear a yell from the other side of the house. Is he hitting yet? Because she was not going to miss a Gary Sheffield at bat. He was a fun dude to watch.
That's one of those that, like, everybody I know who's ever pretty much picked up a bat, and especially around that time, tried to do that thing. You know, mm-hmm. Everybody tried to, and I would have made
my carpal tunnel act up.
I could still never figure out how he hit a ball like that, but man, he could crush.
He had to. Yeah, I don't know if you ever heard the story. He had to, because he always said that he was either his hands were so quick, or he was so reactive that was his way of slowing his bat down and being able to stay behind the baseball and stay inside of it, was to do that bat whack.
Wow.
Yeah, and Barry Bonds kind of had his own version of it. It just wasn't up around his head. It was kind of more in there. Sure. Hated Barry Bonds, not because of steroids or anything, but because obviously he was a Pirate. And despite the fact that he almost became a Brave at one point, was just kind of an all-around dick that nobody really liked a whole lot. I feel like I came up in such a beautiful era for baseball, because – it was Ken Griffey Jr. and Frank Thomas were kind of the class of the sport. And I got to see those guys really in their prime, you know, and then there was some phenomenal pitching, and you would see different guys like Curt Schilling, Randy Johnson, you know, obviously got to see Greg Maddux all the time, John Smoltz, Tom Glavine, just different styles and different ways of going about it. But Ken Griffey Jr., David Robinson, hated Shaq in that time, but I've since learned that Shaq may be the greatest. So
universally beloved.
But we played for the Lakers, and I always hated the Lakers. Now that Shaq's retired, I've got this. I feel like he may be the greatest human to ever live. Did you see the thing where he did grad school? Did you see the grad school thing?
No.
Apparently, he decided to go get his graduate degree, his master's degree.
I did see this. He paid for all his buddies to go.
Yeah, and they would – otherwise, it was kind of work at your own pace, do your own coursework thing, but he wanted the very least a virtual classroom. And they said they couldn't do a virtual classroom unless they had 10 people kind of on the same track. And so he paid for 10 of his closest friends to join him and get their master's degree with him.
Which that
helped for them to get it.
Yeah. Also recently spotted in Blue Ridge, Georgia.
How would anybody notice Shaq around? Yeah.
Sure.
He apparently owns like have you seen the General commercials with him doing the General? So he's got like a partnership with them. Owns the Dunkin' Donuts there off of Ponce in Atlanta. The Krispy Kreme. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would love to hang out with him and Chuck, to be honest with you. I think they'd be a lot of fun.
All right. What you got for me today, buddy?
All right. So, food, you know, I'm fat and I go back to food, fat, ugly, and I talk about food. So you're a man of a wide array of condiments and marinades and sauces. What's your favorite and what's your least favorite condiment?
Good question. I'd probably say my favorite condiment is probably hot sauce. I've got a scorpion pepper hot sauce that I'm real into these days. Put it on about everything I eat. Hot honey is really creeping up the charts.
Yeah,
I'm eating that on a lot of stuff as well these days. And then chili crisp is definitely in the running for favorites. Also, a balsamic glaze, when used correctly, is a very excellent condiment.
You know what balsamic comes from?
I don't.
Grapes.
Really?
Yeah. I saw that the other day, and I was like, what in the heck? Like that? I mean, it makes a lot of sense because of the color of it.
Huh. No, I had no idea. Least favorite. I got to tell you, man, I don't know if I'd say least favorite. I do think ranch dressing is overrated. Especially
I do too.
Especially straight out the bottle ranch. Now a good homemade ranch can be a very special thing. But
you know what's funny is one of the things that made me think about this is I don't like ranch a whole lot either. Like it's great on like a wing. Like you know if I'm drinking sure. You know like
but yeah, I'd rather have blue cheese.
I'm not a blue cheese guy personally. It's just a little too bitey for me. But I've started getting this ranch made by Boathouse, and it's a yogurt based ranch. And it's got like a little bit of an extra kick to it, like a little bit of extra complex flavor or whatever. And it's also a lot lower on the calorie thing. I mean, like 2 tablespoons is 50 calories.
Probably and, higher in protein as well.
Absolutely. So it's got some more nutritional value, but it's really good. It's really crisp and fresh. I smoked some wings last week and tossed them up in my favorite wing sauce, which is Braswell's wing sauce out of Statesboro. Shout out. I need to talk to Braswell's about partnering up with us because there's nobody that loves their product more than I do.
I'm sure they'd be thrilled to be a part of Jake and Off.
Yeah.
It would only increase their company's image to be associated with such a great segment as this. Ranch, like I said, it's just to me, it's overrated.
I'm just really happy that the words aioli didn't come out of your mouth.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'll tell you, not a big A1 fan either. I don't have a lot of
use. Hit or miss. I'll tell you what's underrated though. Heinz 57.
Heinz 57 is a great sauce.
It's got a little. There's a little something to that. I don't know. Maybe it's the.
That's more interesting cousin.
It's fake. It's 100% fake.
Vietnamese catfish.
Vietnamese catfish. One of the all-time lines. Well, so, hey, have you ever been to a steakhouse that kind of had a house steakhouse that you were just like, oh, man, that's legit?
A house what?
A house steakhouse. Like, have you ever been to a nice steakhouse that had their own house-made steakhouse? I mean, steak sauce, sorry.
Steak sauce. Okay. That's where I was losing you.
I know. You're about to dial 911 and give him my address. He's having a stroke.
I have not. I've not had that experience. I don't know that I necessarily like want it. Like, you know, I'm a bit of a snob about that. I'm one of those.
Have you ever had Peter Luger's? They sell it separately. It's got a little horseradish to it. It's pretty good. Peter Luger's steak sauce is good.
I'm one of those people. I am a bit of a snob of like, if it's a good cut of meat, I don't need sauce, you know?
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
But now a shitty old sirloin, from the local steakhouse, give me some Heinz 57. I'll throw that on there for sure.
I'm going to go ahead and say it. I got to come out of the closet on this one because there's some people that are going to be disappointed to hear this. If I'm having a filet, which is very tender, but very little flavor, I'm not a big fan of eating a filet. It's just kind of, it's an overpriced, you know, not great flavorful piece of meat. Or if I'm eating a sirloin, I still like to go back to my childhood and use a little ketchup. I enjoy it. I enjoy it. There's just something that transports me back. So now I won't sit there and I definitely won't take like a ribeye or a good New York strip and do that. But I'm telling you right now, if I'm eating a sirloin
I'll tell you what else too. You take a little of that Heinz 57. You dress your potato and you put the 57 in the potato, mix that up. That's good eating.
Dude, my go-to baked potato move is, you know, obviously you eat the part, like you get a loaded or butter sour cream is my favorite, salt and pepper or whatever, and you get it, you know, the parts that are kind of saturated in that, then you eat your steak, and then you flip the potato over onto the steak juices.
And oh,
just flatten it out, and then just with a fork, just sit there and eat it like it's, you know.
I see where you're going.
By itself, it's absolutely delicious. It's phenomenal. But I'll be honest with you too. Me and Palmer have had a couple of good steaks together. Sperry's Steakhouse. We went to Palmer. What was the name of that place in? What was the name of that place in Dollywood or whatever that we went to?
The Peddler.
Yeah, the Peddler. Salad bar, Peddler. Dude. One of the best things about going to a steakhouse,
Dollywood,
not Dollywood, whatever,
Gatlinburg.
Oh, yeah. I was like, did you guys go to the amusement park together?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm near Dollywood. I can never remember what I can't. I never call Gatlinburg, but we stayed up there for the Georgia Tennessee game this past year, and we went to the Steak Peddler, and it's one of those places they bring it out to your table and they're like, hey, what piece of meat do you want us to cut for you? I'm glad we didn't tell people off the top of the show what we were going to tell them, which is, hey, we had a guest plan. It's going to be a short show. If you get a chance to go to Steak Peddler, you should. You get to choose like the thickness of whatever cut you want. It's delicious. And honestly, dude, me and Palmer were blown away at the fact that we were there for 45 minutes. Some of these places you're there for 45 minutes before you can.
Oh yeah, sure.
Before you can even, they'll even bring your meal out. But
brother, they don't play in Gatlinburg. Pigeon Forge, man, they're dealing with
Pigeon Forge.
Yeah, they're dealing with a lot of families and a lot of fat people.
I don't know near as much about the state of Tennessee as Tennessee resident Jay Groves does.
Hey, how about fuck you, buddy? Okay. All right. So, on that note,
hey, listen, next week will be our last show of May, and we'll be taking the month of June off. I can't wait to get to the beach. I'm excited. Go with some vacation with my family. We are planning to have Mark Schlabaugh of ESPN, formerly of the Georgia market, University of Georgia student, big Cubs fan. We got a lot to talk to him about. Hopefully we can get in the Scotty Scheffler thing again and see maybe if he knows some stuff behind the scenes that we couldn't talk about. And we're excited about having him. We'll probably be recording with him later on this week because he's a really busy guy. But for this episode of Bark After Dark, he's Jake. I'm Jake. We're Dogs HQ. And y'all have a great week.
Roof, roof,
roof, roof.